quadrants. Now, in a sense, tying together all the above-mentioned elements, from levels to lines to states to types, we have quadrants. The four quadrants simply maintain that everything that exists can be looked at through four major primordial perspectives or dimensions: the inside and the outside of the individual and the collective. The inside or interior of the individual, what the individual sees when it looks within, gives us an eye space. The outside or exterior of the individual, what the individual looks like from the outside in an objective exterior scientific fashion, gives us an objective it perspective. That is, where the inside of the individual is made of thoughts, feelings, insights, emotion, spiritual realization, psychological drives, and so on. The outside or exterior or objective view of the individual is made of two lungs, two kidneys, a nervous system, a digestive system, a triune brain with reptilian stem, limbic system, and neocortex with neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin, and so on. Because of how they're usually drawn on paper, with the two major dimensions, interior and exterior, and individual and collective, drawn together as a cross, giving four major boxes, as it were, the interior of the individual is called the upper left quadrant, and the exterior of the individual is called the upper right quadrant. Then there is the inside or the interior of the various collectives or groups that the individual always finds itself in. The family group, various educational groups, community groups, groups of friends, of associates, of work partners, various political groups, religious groups, the national culture itself, various environmental bioregions, international and planetary communities, and each of these groups has a set of shared values, mutual understandings, collective ethics and morals, shared linguistic meanings, common goals and drives, similar semantic meanings, and usually some sort of shared history. These are all the things that hold a group together from within, from the inside, and are referred to collectively as the group's culture or cultural dimension. And this includes groups in nature, which definitely have proto-awareness and prehensions. This is the lower left quadrant, or we space. Those same groups, looked at from the outside in an objective, exterior, scientific fashion, gives us all the objective facts, or its, about those groups. We already saw many of them summarized as political, economic, social, technological, legal, and environmental, and include birth and death rates, actual social structure or institutional framework, material modes of techno-economic infrastructure, all sorts of systems, family structures, ecological systems within systems, and so on. Where the lower left is concerned with cultural togetherness or cultural fit, this lower right quadrant is concerned with social togetherness or functional fit. The former is intersubjective, the latter is interobjective. But you can start to see that all four of these dimensions, these quadrants, always arise and occur and go together. You can't really have one of them without the others. They can be looked at differently, and indeed, their different perspectives are part of their real differences. But they are all perspectives or dimensions of the same actual occasion. Each event in the universe, in other words, has these four dimensions or four quadrants. This is important precisely because each quadrant is giving us information, important information, about a different dimension of each and everything in existence. And in our attempts to understand our world, our history, ourselves, we are always leaving out one or more of these fundamental quadrants, leaving out their important truths, just as we often leave out various levels or lines or states or types. And this, again, contributes to our fragmented, partial, broken, tormented, and tortured world. How are all four quadrants always working together with any particular event? Well, take any thought you might have. Say you wake up one morning and start thinking about what you need to do that day. Normally, this would be seen as an example of an isolated individual waking up and considering separate options that are typically common decisions, but none of them necessarily related to each other. But an integral four quadrant view shows a much more interwoven and interconnected situation. So first we have the thought itself, which is an activity in the upper left quadrant. The line of intelligence the individual is using is central. Is it a cognitive thought that morning, just thinking through the possibilities? Or is it an emotional thought, drenched in feelings and emotions about what all the options mean to this person? Or is it a moral thought, couched in normative considerations of what the right thing to do is in several of the options the person faces that day? Or is it an aesthetic thought, with the individual thinking of all the beautiful and artistic options that might be encountered with some choices instead of others? Beyond that, what is the level or stage of that intelligence and the eight general levels available to this person? What hidden map are they using to navigate their world? Will it be an egocentric thought, where the person won't give a damn about the others that will be running into you today? Or an ethnocentric thought, where the person happily looks forward to meeting, perhaps, members of the meditation group, or the church group, or even their relationship partner, with love and belonging swelling in their hearts? Or world-centric thought, considering each action from a post-conventional perspective, treating all people they meet today fairly, regardless of race, color, sex, or creed? Or even a cosmocentric thought, deeply concerned about how today's choices will impact global warming, or the population explosion, or the poverty epidemic? And still in the upper left, what state are they coming from? Will today be no more than an encounter with an essentially gross physical world of sensorimotor objects? Or a subtle world of gleaming interior realities, luminous and radiant and joy-enhancing, driving their every action? Or a causal witnessing state, with a person firmly anchored in his or her true self, seated in the pure present, steady as a mountain of pure I am-ness, backing and supporting the small conventional self as it goes about its daily tasks? And what about types, say masculine or feminine? Will today be a trip through a hierarchically planned prioritization of tasks driven by an autonomous and separate self? Or a trip through a relationally oriented series of group gatherings with close friends, perhaps a shopping trip with one's best friend? And while those thoughts are going through the upper left quadrant, the brain and body in the upper right are reacting and, in some cases, causatively, creating various brain states and patterns that underlie and help drive those thoughts. Different consciousness states will be going hand in hand with different brain states: gamma, beta, alpha, theta, delta. A shift in any of those brain states will cause an immediate shift in various consciousness states. Neurotransmitters will be correlated with different levels and lines of consciousness, supporting or helping generate them. But the overall organic state in the upper right will be profoundly interwoven with the thoughts in the upper left, and vice versa. And those organic upper right states will be seamlessly interwoven with the collective sum total of exterior structures and systems in the lower right. Weather systems will profoundly affect what the organism is feeling, as will political, legal, economic, and educational systems the person is exposed to. Ecological factors will be playing a huge hand in how the organism relates to its surroundings, and environmental toxins might at that very moment be eating into the organic organism, already creating crippling physical illnesses, which in turn will dramatically affect thoughts. The mode of techno-economic infrastructure in the lower right, from hunting and gathering to horticultural, which means simple farming with a handheld stick or hoe, to agrarian, which is advanced farming with a heavy animal-drawn plow, to to industrial to informational. These will determine an entire range of what thoughts are even possible for this individual organism. In hunting and gathering, the morning thought might be time to hunt the bear. In informational societies, it might be time to get on Facebook and update my bio page. Completely different types of thoughts in the upper left, driven by the always present lower right. And notice that all of these exterior system group structures have interiors, have shared worldviews in the lower left quadrant, arising with them and mutually influencing them. A purely foraging or hunting and gathering society historically arose with a magic worldview, where magical rituals were performed before each hunt to ensure the hunt was successful, or a rain dance was performed to magically force nature to rain. Or an informational lower right tended to arise with a postmodern pluralistic lower left, both starting in the 60s, driven by the multiple perspectives a worldwide computer information system provided. So we can see the mutual interacting effects of the lower right and the lower left. Of course, another impact on the inner subjective cultural worldviews in the lower left is the overall impact of the subjective levels of individuals in the upper left. As more people moved into amber, mythic literal levels of individual consciousness, the more culture itself became weighted to an overall mythic religious worldview. The more that individuals moved into orange, rational, world-centric levels in the upper left, the more culture shifted into a rational, world-centric, modern, or scientific worldview in the lower left. And vice versa, the general center of gravity of a culture, the level of its worldview, red, amber, orange, green, etc., acted as a magnet, a pacer of transformation for individuals, drawing them up to the culture's level if they were below it, and slowing them down if they tried to move beyond it. So you can see that the simple thought that a person has when they wake up any morning is far from an isolated, independent thought that they are having all on their own. It is profoundly molded and influenced by every level in their consciousness, every line in their awareness, every type, and events from all four quadrants smashing down on them with tremendous force, molding and shaping even the most private and secret thoughts they have, and in ways that they are almost completely unaware of. But otherwise, they will most likely imagine that they are being original in their thinking, are coming up with all these ideas on their own, whereas almost completely the opposite is occurring. They are in the aqua matrix, almost the same way Neo was in the Matrix, until he awakened to it and saw it from the outside. The same thing happens when you see the aqua matrix objectively. You awaken from its absolutely controlling influence and dominance, and you start to stand free and creatively clear, ready to really start thinking for yourself, to find a real freedom outside of the matrix, and not merely a pretend and imaginary freedom inside it. Congratulations and welcome to the real world, Neo.